Hello, and welcome to Robo Radio, the online program for all things robotics. The program is brought to you by the National Robotics Education Foundation. We're here to chronicle the explosive growth of robotics in today's world, but equally as important, to encourage young people to learn and use tools to understand, create, utilize, and service robotics, machines, and systems. My name is Don Mazzella, and I am your co-host for what we believe will be informative half hours. Alongside me is Tom Atwood, the executive director of the foundation. Many of you listeners may know him in his former role as editor of Robot Magazine. Tom, thank you for allowing me to be part of this program. Before we get to our guest, Joe Solano, please tell us a little bit about yourself, then the foundation, and what you hope to accomplish in the coming months and years.
Okay, thank you very much, Don, for the opportunity to be on your show. I really appreciate this. The National Robotics Education Foundation is designed to bolster and support and help the students, the schools, the educators of our country, and it's also designed to build bridges between industry and the educational markets. We hope to be a clearinghouse of information where people can both come to our site and find the information they're looking for, sweeping across all of the robotics education market. But also, we will provide resources where companies will be able to provide information on their products, and we will also have third-party reviews of robot products. And we're very excited to be in a position to move this initiative forward. The National Robotics Education Foundation, or NREF for short, has been around for about half a dozen years. We now have the opportunity to give it some real walking legs. We will be providing pointers to curricula and lesson programs. We will be posting, in many instances, curricula that are offered for free, and lesson programs and similar kinds of materials. And we will also be indexing and pointing to curricula that are sold commercially, so that we hope to cover the across the board all the lesson programs, educational programs in robotics that are available. The National Robotics Education Foundation will be holding an annual conference. We plan on holding our first one in September. We're still considering some of the potential venues. Indianapolis and D.C. are both under consideration. We also will hold a advisory board roundtable. If you visit the website for the National Robotics Education Foundation, you'll see that there is an advisory board comprised of about 35 individuals who represent a broad cross-section of the robotics industry in educational robotics, in hobby robotics, and to some extent in industrial robotics. That is a sweeping statement of the enthusiasm and support we have from the industry for this initiative. The advisory board will hold a roundtable in the June time frame to discuss plans and initiatives, and we invite the public to visit our website and join it. We offer a kind of membership which entitles members to monthly newsletters, and also to it gives members an opportunity to have discussions with me and other people involved in the organization. And we also will be providing daily news updates and an RSS feed. This will consist of the very latest in compelling, interesting robotics news from around the world. We will offer insights and reports and updates on both domestic robotics initiatives and international ones, and those where it's a group of countries involved internationally, including the U.S.
But also, people should really know about your background. Tell us a little bit about it. I mean, it's so impressive. That's why the board brought you on board.
Well, I'll tell you, Don, I've, I, have a background in linguistics and evolutionary studies, a degree in anthropology from the University of Arizona, and a law degree from NYU. But when I graduated from law school, I thought it would be more interesting to go into magazine publishing and into media work because of the diversity of subject matters and opportunities that were available. And at one point, I was a founding editor of Flight Journal magazine, which is run today by Bud Davison. It's an air age publication specializing in aviation adventure. I also co-founded as the editor-in-chief a number of radio control magazines, all of which are still in publication today. And, of course, I launched Robot magazine in the 2006 time frame and oversaw 51 issues of that magazine over a period of 7 to 8 years. And it was my great pleasure to be introduced to so many different leaders and people and companies and organizations nationally and worldwide in the robotics marketplace in my editorship tenure at Robot Magazine, which is published by Maplegate Media. And I thought after I retired from that editorship and jumped into the nonprofit world in an effort to bolster and support robotics education, that I might best be able to use the experience I garnered in my editor role at the magazine in this new role in the foundation, serving as executive director. So I'm really quite honored and thrilled at this opportunity. Go ahead, Don.
I was going to say, and one of our guests is one of those people, so why don't we move on to our guest who's been patiently waiting. Why don't you introduce him, because you know him so well.
Okay, I would like to introduce Joe Solano. Joe is the recently elected president of the San Diego AUVSI chapter. That chapter has a number of initiatives and programs going, ranging from STEM education for students to facilitating the wonderful work of so many robotics companies in the Southwest. Joe, could you tell us a little bit about your position and your responsibilities and what you do?
Hey, thanks, Don. It's a pleasure being on the show. Thanks, Don. Appreciate the opportunity. AVUSI, which is the Association for Unmanned Vehicle and Systems International, is the largest organization in the world with about almost 15,000 members to it. And it's going back in about 20 years, when sort of back in the days of the model airplane days, and to the point we've got a wide diversified areas where folks like Google and Amazon and other companies, as well as your standard defense companies like Lockheed Martin and so forth, are members of this, as well as a wide range of things from the agriculture industry, entertainment, and defense, and whatever. Our San Diego chapter is the largest chapter. We cover basically most of San Diego County and Imperial County, basically anything south of L.A., and actually most of L.A. and down is really part of our chapter. We have about 400 members and about 100 companies that are involved here. 100 years ago, San Diego was the hotbed of American aviation, with Lindbergh and so forth. So our chapter is officially called the AVUSI San Diego Lindbergh chapter, in honor of that very famous flyer. We're taking that same philosophy, what happened 100 years ago today, and into the unmanned systems community. And you'll see so many things that are happening in unmanned systems. Is really San Diego County and Southern California is the hotbed of unmanned systems technology, not only air, but ground and maritime as well.
You're saying unmanned systems. To a layman like me, do you mean drones?
Well, that's part of it. Drones is air, and that's an unmanned air vehicle. And there's also ground robots. There's also medical robots. And there's also stuff that goes in water. For example, I've been associated with the folks at Carnegie Mellon the last couple of years, and we're using unmanned surface vessels in the Ohio River and using them to collect environmental samples of the water and also bottom samples to see how, you know, toxic wood is or how clean it was and so forth like that. And we would collect that data and then send it to, you know, wirelessly somewhere, collect it, and they would analyze it. So there's all kinds of things that are going, especially when you're looking at brown sites, things like that are being reclamated with 3D EPA and things like that that are happening on the Ohio River, you know, along the whole Mississippi River system, Allegheny and Monongahela and so forth. It's pretty exciting stuff. That's just as an example.
In effect, you're saying, when you're talking unmanned, you're talking a whole spectrum of vehicles and apparatus. And that's
right.
When I think of robots, I just think of the kind of walk around, et cetera. And a robot is an unmanned vehicle, everything like that. Am I right in that?
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. And the thing is, keep in mind is, you know, you see with the stuff in the news with the drones and all, but there is a lot of good things. The stuff that, you know, the initiative that's happened with the Department of Transportation, they call Traffic 21, which is basically road automation. Just things around your house. I mean, it's not going to be too far in the distant future that you'll have, you know, just like the Jetsons did, the old cartoon show, with the maid and stuff. I mean, the idea is how these things can help us in make our lives so we humans can focus on human things, and then robots can support us in that way. The interesting part about this whole thing is it really started out initially as a bunch of engineers coming up with a lot of cool ideas, not much different than Henry Ford did and all those entrepreneurs back in the late 1800s coming up with the automobiles and the Wright brothers and so forth. But at some point, it becomes a business thing. And unless you have the business side of it, that technology really doesn't mature into an industry. And that's what's so exciting about what I'm hearing about the foundation. But there's other aspects of this thing that I also look at it as, and there's a lot of emphasis on STEM, and I don't want to take away from that because that's very important to America to get that up to increase the amount of people with technology and engineering and so forth degrees. But there's a business aspects of it. So I want to encourage all those kids out there who really think robots are cool or whatever to turn these into a business opportunity and how else we could use them. I don't think any of us, well, I know I don't, have a clue on how these things could use in the future. And if you look at what happened with the car, and we called, you know, Henry Ford called it a horseless carriage, and that's what it looked like. It looked like a carriage without a horse. And, you know, today we say a drone or an unmanned system is basically a car that looks like a car, or it looks like an airplane. But why should it look like that? Why shouldn't it be like a transformer? Why can't it be something else that we don't even know about? Some creative kid out there is going to be the next, you know, founder of the next Facebook out there, or something like that that we don't know. And so I'm going to give that to the challenge for all these kids out there, because it's not more than just the engineers need to hook up with the marketing and the business people to really sell that idea and really make this an industry, because without that it won't happen.
Well, we totally agree, and that's the focus of the foundation. How do we get people involved in this area? Where do the people that you work with, where do they come from, and what types of applications are they using that you want to share with the audience?
Well, you know, it's really funny. When industry started out, either, and I got involved in this about 5-6 years ago, it was predominantly people that are building platforms, which is basically the robot themselves, okay? But if there's much more to that. It's really, I call it as a canvas to put other things on it. So then from that perspective, I think there's a lot of room to grow. Don't look at that as be intimidated because, well, I've got to build a robot. To me, it's not the most important thing out there. I think the kind of platforms and things out there will evolve. But if you take a look at the perspective of a mobile device, for example, we got, you know, smartphones and tablets and all that stuff. But just think of an unmanned system as a something like that, but take it to the stratosphere, you know, what we could possibly do with it. So I really think it's really, you know, how far we can go depends on what our kids want to take it to, their imagination, and whatever limits they want to take it. It really I have no idea where how this could go at all. I'm just excited the fact that these to get these young folks involved. Now, how do we do it? That is, like I said, certainly AVUSI Foundation is one aspect. They hold these things called Robo competitions. They have this program called Perchfish, which allows young kids in elementary, middle school, and high school to like build robots and things like that. And they offer it out. But the other aspect of this is I kind of like take the relationship as a from a the Kiwanis and a Key Club relationship and how we can get people involved more than just from a science side, but also from a business side of things in here, and get kids involved, trying to get involved in that aspect.
Well, as I said, that's our goal. Tom, you've known Joe a long time. How can the foundation and his group work together?
Well, I think we can partner with the AVSI chapter and provide a lot of news input, and the AVSI can provide us with ideas and leads to stories on companies that are doing great things in robotics. And that will enable us to enrich our content and our news, even as we are helping the AUVSI ramp up its news offerings. So that's one way right there. And I'm sure there are a number of other ways we can collaborate as well that we just haven't figured out yet, but we will certainly brainstorm on a continuing basis.
Yeah, Don, we've already, Tom and I have already talking about going after grants for the foundation and things like that as well. And we'll pursue that and look at, joint events to help out as well wherever we can.
Well, it's an exciting time for us, and I'm really privileged to be involved with it, but it's the fellows like you and Tom that are the ones that are really making things happen. In the next 2 years, what do you think are going to be the most critical issues facing? We see Google and other people and Amazon trying to do this. They seem to hog the headlines, but I think a lot of other things are happening below the surface. Do you have any of the ideas? Go ahead.
Yeah. The FAA has recently released a bunch of different rulings on unmanned systems. And they call them Chapter 333 exemptions, which allows folks to really opens up the market with unmanned systems. So I see there's just going to be an explosion of things of small unmanned air systems that will be below 500 feet of altitude to fly around. And that's going to be one of the big things out there. Because these things are pretty cheap. One, there certainly there's going to be some restrictions. You can't, watch about populated areas. There's a lot of safety things that the FAA is requiring. But then again, it's all doable. Things are supposed to be in line of sight. Where I think the growth areas is something my company, Trabus Technologies, here in San Diego, we focus on. Actually, I'm in a robot business, but I don't do robots. Okay, for example, my main focus in our company is the wireless communications and security, wireless security related things. So what we're seeing is with the number of all these unmanned systems out there, these drones or whatever you call them, they're going to be need to be able to have a traffic cop and for comms to deconflict these things a little bit better. And that's where we're spending our efforts in and focus on looking at research and development and things like that in those particular areas. So I do believe that you're going to see a lot here. You're already seeing a lot already. Forget what Google's doing, but just go to any car show. BMW, Subaru, you can even see the recent Mercedes-Benz commercial, and all these sense and avoid things they're doing on cars these days. Pretty amazing. And, the next step is you literally, your car can literally drive itself right now on so many higher end vehicles. So you're going to see more and more of that. I think all the manufacturers are going to get on that bandwagon. And really it's going to happen, I think, Don, is it's going to be a cultural change on how we accept these things in our lives. But it'll happen.
Brains in the cars that learn the personality and mannerisms of a particular driver, and they will be able to detect when a driver is falling asleep or nodding out, that kind of thing, and
yeah.
Ring a bell or jiggle the steering wheel, you know, and even as the car is also detecting other cars nearby and making sure that there's no adverse lane change or dangerous zooming towards another car. It's just awesome what already is being fielded.
Yeah, but I think BMW Subaru with their EyeSight technology and BMW and Mercedes-Benz are probably the three leaders in a pack. But everybody's will be following them. But they are typically the leaders in those kind of things. So I think you're right, Tom.
Another thing that may explode in interest over the next 2 years is will be developments in artificial intelligence. There's a lot of work now going on with what's called the biological model of robotic programming, where robots are programming robots. And that's a very interesting area. There are some people who point to Stephen Hawking's caution that we need to keep control of artificial intelligence so that it doesn't ultimately threaten humanity. And those issues are now, I think, upon us more than most people would be aware. And it's a little taste of science fiction that's now a practical matter that we have to deal with.
I heard a joke, and the joke was the scientists got together and fed all of the world's knowledge into a computer and asked one question, is there a God? And the reply is, there is now. But you know, we're closer to that today, and that's the frightening part. But Joe, people wanted to reach you, either from the association or your company. How do they do it?
Well, there's a couple ways to do it. You can go to our AVSI website, and you go and look at our About Us, and you could. And our website is www.AUVSISanDiego.com. That's AUVSISanDiego.com. Or you can reach me at Joe C, the letter C, at Trabus. That's TRABUS.com.
Would you repeat it again for our audience?
Yeah, and spell that, Trabus, please.
TRABUS.com.
Well, Joe, we want you to come back again later on in this year and talk more, and perhaps be on one of our panels going forward. I'm sure Tom echoes that.
Oh, yes, indeed.
Yeah, I'll be real excited about it, and hopefully we got some good stuff to tell you. We've got a lot of good things happening in our chapter, and hopefully we can be able to share with them when we speak again.
Well, we definitely will. Really,
thank you very much, Joe.
Us.
We really appreciate you taking the time. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Tom, people want
yes.
to reach you. How did they do it?
They can reach me by email, tatwood, that's TATWOOD, at the-nref.org. That's my business email address. People can reach me there. They can also reach me by phone at the NREF office number, which is 760-231-6186.
Well, that's all for today, but we'll be back soon with another guest, and Tom and I will be here. If you have any suggestion as to guests, as to questions or topics you'd like us to discuss, please email Tom. He's the central repository of all our knowledge. But if you need me, it's... you can reach me at D. Mazzella, that's a hard one, B for Donald, MAZZELLA at NREF.org. Talk to you again very soon. Thank you and goodbye.